Wow. I am grinning ear to ear. I honestly might get my ears pierced so that the next time I smile this big, my lips will touch my ear, my golden, gorgeous bangles that will be hanging off. First of all, Rana's not here. I think I'm just going to take a wild swing and say that she went to O.J. Simpson's funeral and is still mourning with the family. But is my guess that she's still there. But I don't know for sure. She might be getting a facelift. She always threatens it. In her place this week, although who could ever take her place? My friend, the funniest person, the light of my life, Michelle Collins is here fresh. I was going to say off her tour, but that's not true. Fresh on her tour.
Yes.
The Big Natural Tour, MichelleCollinsLive.com. By the way, we'll be talking about it, but I will be with her at her show on stage in Portland this Thursday. Very exciting.
Wait.
Michelle Collins.
Brian Safi, first of all, should we just tell people that every time we see each other, and it's so genuine too. I know that it's real from both of our ends. You're the closest thing I've known to love. I said to you that, I'm serious. I said, you know what? We joke about getting married. I'm like, look, you're the only person I want to see when I wake up, when I go to bed at night. I'm like, that's it.
And we've also discussed that, like, anything goes. You do you. Oh, do it. Go get it wherever you need it. Say, like, that is perfection to me.
Listen, if it worked for Diane von Furstenberg, how could it possibly not work for me?
That is so true. Although I read recently the other day that it said the wrap dress is out.
Let me tell you something about that fucking wrap dress. I was actually just going to bring it up. That wrap dress owes at least $5 million to Stacey and Clinton from What Not to Wear.
Was that because one of their go-tos?
Anytime they had a woman who was above, it didn't matter what size they were embalming them in one of those fucking wrap dresses. And not even the real DVF ones, but they would take them to like Filene's basement, rest in peace,
completely,
in Union Square, and then put them in like the fake one. But I'm going to go on a limb and say that, for me at least, those wrap dresses are one of the most unflattering. It's like wrapping yourself in the Mrs. Doubtfire fat suit. It ages you immediately. And that happened 15 years ago when it was in style. It just, for me, was never such a good look. And yet every simpleton, no offense, with titties would, no offense, Brian.
I always thought I looked great in one.
You actually would look good.
Well, my mom always used to say, because she used to get them. And then I remember one day she was like, you know, I know these look easy, but they're just not easy. There's nothing easy about this. Yeah.
Well, first of all, you had to thread it through. You were basically, I'm telling you, weaving yourself into a polyester fabric that showed, in my opinion, every freaking dimple, every bulge. So unless you had really good shapewear underneath, I'm going to take Diane to task here.
Right.
Shame on her. And the prices of those dresses and her clothing in general.
Outrageous.
Outrageous for garbage.
Right.
For garbage.
And I think she fancies herself as really a feminist. The way that, you know, that Chanel, Coco Chanel, really became famous and an icon because she was the inventor of the crossbody bag, which meant that women could, like, ride bicycles with their hands free. And it was, like, a huge freedom for women to have a crossbody bag. I think Diane von Furstenberg fancies herself in the same route of those things. Of just
because,
like,
it's like a throw it on.
Correct.
Listen, the one good thing, it wouldn't really wrinkle. I'll give her that much.
Okay,
but it just had this feeling. I always felt like it didn't make your titties look nice. It made you look like you were about to whip one out and feed the baby. You know, had that sort of maternity feel to me that just never connected.
Now, before we get to hot topics like you tripping on ceramic and your sweater, first of all, really want to give a big shout out to this tour. And we're sort of filming or recording beforehand, so, like, I won't fake it and ask how your shows have been, except that I do. Have you kicked it off yet in real time?
In real time, no.
Okay.
But by the time this airs, yes. The first show is going to be in Atlanta on April 23rd.
Fabulous.
Then flying cross country. The flights are absolutely full blown sleepless in Seattle because somehow with this schedule, I'm going from here to LA Atlanta to LA, then LA back to the East Coast to do, I think, Philly and or Chicago something, then to Portland to see you, then back to the, it's
just like
back
full
and
forth. Philly, by the way, sold out, I believe. I saw online that show sold out.
Philly did?
Oh, wait, maybe I'm wrong. Boston did.
Boston, oh, Boston, and you're Boston. The best. And Chicago. Listen, it's fabulous. Possible by the time this airs that Philly will sell out. Those smaller shows are selling out quickly. The City Winery shows. But if you know anyone in Portland, Oregon, Los Angeles, or New York.
By the way, everyone listening in Portland, Oregon, this Thursday, if it's not sold out, Michelle and I are going to be at the Aladdin Theater. You can go to michellecollinslive.com for tickets. So please do that because she would love to see you there. And I'll be walking on and waving, and I would love to see you there.
I'm so excited that you're coming there. Oh my God.
I was like so flattered that you asked me.
I happen to like Portland. I've been once. I do too. It's a nice place. We have a funny bit. It may bomb, but we have a funny idea that I'm excited about, which involves shopping during the day. So that's going to be fun for us. But no, I'm really excited. And you and I always have the best time. Oh my Anytime God, when I used to do your throwing shade shows in Orlando yes. or wherever it was, we always remember. Had fun.
Remember Orlando? We were all, each like... I think one of us was like slapped across the face. One of us was slapped on the ass. Do you remember this after the show by the audience there?
Wait, was I they slapped? I think I was wily. Slapped on the ass.
And
You're
I think I
wrong.
Was slapped on the face. It was something like this.
I remember that one of your fans took us to Disney the next day with your sister.
Yes.
And I don't even think we went on a ride. I think we went in.
We went on only the Jungle Cruise. And we're... That's the only ride. That's the only ride we went on. And by the way, we had access to like any of those rides. We only went on the Jungle Cruise and were then immediately horrified by how like retro and weird and like not updated
racist.
It was.
Racist. Like, completely I mean, racist. They basically were reflecting, you know, it was like going into, this was the Disney version. We were shocked by this, but it would have local natives, let's call it, according to Disney.
Right.
Standing with like spears and headdresses.
Yes.
And it was like, watch out. They're going to carve your skull off. Like, huh?
It was what? Wild.
It was really, and we had a really unfunny boat leader because they're supposed to be like funny, kind of like Jekyll and Hyde
style. That's like the biggest job there, I would say, as in terms of entertainment. Like those people are guiding you through that entire thing.
No, it's a whole routine. Yeah. And you and I were like, we would be killing the fucking Jungle Cruise if we were doing it.
That's true. I always forget. I usually have a running list of my backup careers, and that really should be one of them.
But then the other thing that happened in Disney is that we went to the gift shop. And dare I say, because this never happens to me, I was recognized in the gift shop by a lovely family, and that meant the world to me. And I remember them. And then I found the funniest t-shirt of all time, which is definitely in storage in New Jersey right now. So I can't even bring it. I would bring it to Portland for us.
Well, I have to say because you have used this t-shirt in shows before, haven't you?
I have. Yeah.
It is. Can I say what it is?
I want you to.
It was one of the most confounding things I've ever experienced at any Disney property. At this Disney store was a t-shirt with Pinocchio's nose, I think at full extension, right?
Fully extended.
Fully extended, which means he's lying. And the caption on it said, I didn't come here for the churros. It was a lot to take in because you have to immediately know that he's lying and that he did go there for the churros. And I remember the sweet guy who was taking us around was like, no, it makes perfect sense. And we were like, it makes sense after four steps. Like, you really, it's a journey to get there.
Well, first of all, the nose alone had me in the line for the checkout because the nose alone, it's a good 3 feet long, this like peach colored wand sticking out of this idiot's face.
Yes, with rouge on the end of it.
Yeah. And then it's like, why is he being so cagey about churros? Why don't you just, that's one thing you really don't have to lie about. You can just tell us, hey, I love the churros here. He's skinny. It's not like he has a weight problem. What is this, like Precious?
Totally.
He can eat whatever he wants.
And not to mention, I actually never knew. I never knew the churros were like a signature at Disney World. Are they?
Ever. Yeah. Ever in my life.
That was the other thing that was so strange.
So it's like, I didn't come here for the churros. Well, we would have no reason not to believe you. I mean, why even lie about that, you fucking freak? Like, just say, go completely. On.
No, I was going to say, but also, conversely, to pay $150 to come in and get a churro is, I mean, that's real privilege, you know?
That's addiction.
That's 1% bullshit. And it's addiction.
That's an addiction. But also, his nose looks like a churro. And I know that that too. Had to be part of the design plan. They thought, how can we, some Imagineer thought, you know, Pinocchio's nose looks like one of the churros. How do we combine these two things in a t-shirt? because it makes you think of a churro. Not me. I thought of something else, but it makes you think of a churro.
Sure.
And then that's my theory as to why that t-shirt exists. But I do own it somewhere.
Now, Michelle, before we get into helping some people who desperately need it, yeah. I do want to know, you have, first of all, your sweater is gorgeous. I do want to talk about it. It is so beautiful. Is that like it almost looks like a Dutch or Icelandic, like it looks like one of these things that someone has spent nearly their entire lives creating.
I would agree with that, except it would be a child somewhere far away who works for the Zara Corporation who hand stitched it. No, I bought this sweater. It's a large. It is ladies. And I tried it on and I thought, God, it's so chic. It's so oversized.
It's beautiful.
And then every time I put it on, it basically turns me into Fair Isle Grimace is the only way I can explain it. Cause it's so, I mean, I can stand and kind of show you, it's hard to see, but the way that it hangs is actually insanely unflattered. Do you see how it hangs around the hips? You see,
I do now. Yes.
It's horrible on me. So it's actually nice on the show. But then I saw someone who, I think Mary Beth Barone or someone, was wearing it in one of her videos, or that's not true, someone else. And someone very thin was wearing it and it looked so good on them. And all the comments are like, where's that sweater from? And I thought, and wearing it like a full dress, like a full length gown.
Right, sure.
It barely covers my lowest crack. You know what I mean? Like everything hangs out. It's really not a good story. I'm sorry I made you ask me about it, but it does look good on the here. It looks
nice,
I admit.
It's actually beautiful.
Yeah.
And then what happened with the ceramic? I do want to ask about that too.
Okay, this is a quickie. So when I was going, I went to Frankfurt, Germany. I really don't want to talk
about
it. For a day.
By the way, if you're not listening to the Michelle Collins Show on Patreon, you're really doing yourself a disservice. It is, along with being a member of my own two shows, Patreon, the only other one I go to is yours, Michelle. I love it
and
so
you know
much.
That you're the only one I pay for as well, just so you know.
I absolutely love it.
I'm just letting you know. But I broke a vase in the morning leaving in mania because I have a Ring cam where the wire for it goes around this big vase because I thought, oh, that's good. It like steadies it on my shelf, which points toward the doorway. And as of course, because I'm like Larry Appleton in Perfect Strangers, as I was running for something, who the fuck even knows, I tripped on the cord. This was at 6 o'clock in the morning. The vase came, huge vase, not mine, I'm renting this place, came crashing down, broke into a million pieces. Of course, I'm like frantic. So I took the big chunks and then I took the little Dyson and I tried to suck everything else up, but I had to catch my train. There's two points to the story. One is about 2 days ago, I'm sitting on the toilet and I do face the one issue with this Ring cam is it does point directly to my toilet when the door is open. And I found this out the hard way when I got a Ring cam notification and it was me on the toilet. I just want people to know when it was plugged in, I was like, oh my. So that's why I unplug it when I'm home. But anyway, I was sitting on the toilet and I was like looking and I see a mouse under this hutch.
I would have thrown myself out the window. I would have taken, I would have begged that ladder you made me remove from your home was still there so I could swing it over the deck and climb down if I saw a mouse.
I think about that ladder once a day. Anyway, so I'm like shitting in my pants, like literally not shitting in my pants. I'm shitting in the toilet. Like there's a mouse here. Well, and I'm, you know, when you're so still, I'm like truly a cat. Like I froze to be like, what the fuck? Trying to see if it's going to move or anything. I was holding myself like that for about 2 minutes. And then I realized, and actually I still haven't picked it up. Shall I grab it now and show you what it was?
Absolutely.
This is a fun one. This is like this is a Gallagher moment for us all. Hold on.
I can't wait.
So this is what I was seeing. This Hold is on. What I saw. Let me plug my headphones in.
First of all, I do want everyone to know who like isn't seeing this. We do a video of this, but in case they don't know, this piece of this vase is a mouse.
No, Brian, look at that.
Yeah.
It was on the ground like this and I didn't move. I was frozen and I thought, I can't believe that mouse isn't moving. Like, why isn't he moving his tail? What is going on here? Like move, you know? And he stood there and then it hit me. I'm not kidding you. A good 3 minutes of me not moving to be like, bitch, it's part of the vase, you dumb fucking bitch. And I was like so mad at myself.
By the way, this is a trend because last week you sent me a picture of jeans that you thought was a dog.
Yes.
Yeah,
I did. I was.
But by the way, that did look like a dog. Can't even tell you that you're seeing things because I saw the same things.
It looked like a dead dog on the side of the road. It was a folded up jeans. I go, am I okay? Years ago, two second story, when I lived in New York, I was also, funny enough, it was the night before I was leaving for a huge overseas trip. And I see a mouse tail sticking out from behind my huge, beautiful mirror. This is around 12:15 a.m.
Right.
I have a heart attack. I think, who is going to come here? And I'm leaving. Like, I'm not leaving this thing. I'm frozen. I decide I'm going to order food and give the delivery guy $20 to come grab it.
So brilliant.
It's smart.
Because by the way, and also way cheaper than getting like some emergency exterminator or something like that, you know?
So I order like, I'm not kidding, like an orange juice. I got no food. I wasn't hungry.
Right.
Guy comes, he's got his helmet on, and I go, this is a really strange question, but, and I had $20. I go, can you come in and would you, I think there's a mouse. He like takes his helmet off. He was such a nice guy, young guy. He's like, you know, this is my first day on the job. I go, I'm so sorry. I swear in my life. He's like, it's my first day. I go, I'm really sorry. I give him the money. He tiptoes inside. I'm tiptoeing behind him like in a Looney Tunes cartoon.
Absolutely.
Wee Willy Winky Hamburglar. On the prowl.
Yes.
He peeks behind the mirror. I'm shaking. I'm ready to run. Okay. He squats down. He pulls up a plastic tie that went around a wire. You know, when you like get wires and there's that little, like what goes around a bag of bread.
Yeah, the twisty thing. Yeah.
Twisty thing. That was it.
Please tell me you withheld the money.
Gave it to him.
Okay.
That was the deal. Come on.
You know
what?
I'm glad. Yeah. Because there would have been a part of me that was sort of like, there would have been a part of me that was like, you know, the deal was that it was a mouse. So now that it's not.
The deal was he agreed to walk into my apartment and check.
That's true. Good.
And he earned, by the way, he earned that money through and through. He was a really sweet guy. So yeah, I'm glad that you agree with me that this is absolutely a mouse.
That is a mouse.
Really,
that is a mouse. And by the way, that could be a live mouse or a computer mouse. Honestly, I would be just as scared if I saw a computer mouse on the floor that was not mine. That would actually maybe scare me more if there was just somebody's computer mouse on the floor. I would lose my mind.
Sandra Bullock's the net.
Honey, like, I would priority DoorDash, Uber Eats someone to my house immediately to come take care of that situation. There's no way I would be able to handle it.
I think there's Netgear equipment under my hutch. I need you to squat down and check for the Netgear.
There is a Nighthawk under my hutch.
Brian, you're very buff. What's going on? You just lifted your arms. You're so fit.
I've been on this kick. I've been on this kick where I have been going to this gym, and it's like a weightlifting gym. So it's something I've been trying more of lately.
It's very noticeable.
It is. It's a very, I'll say this. It's a very, this is when I'm in LA, and it's a very East Side gym. So it's very, but it's very, still very gay. So I see all kinds of legends at this place that you and I both know that are, and this is the difference between like a West Hollywood gym, which I would never go to, and like a Silver Lake gym, is these people, even if they're buff, they look so strange in like workout gear. You know what I mean? Because they're all indoor cats. So like, it just is, it's always illuminating to see literally because their legs are so shiny white that it's shocking every
time. It is odd when a very pale person gets buff.
Yeah.
It immediately goes into like powder or, because it's, you can't get like,
No, it's like the villains in Dune. It's like that, like all white, I don't know, Austin Butler, weird. Can I tell you a little something? Here's what we want you to do, okay? We want you to attack your spring and summer, and we don't want you to stink, literally, which was why I'm excited to talk to you about Loom Whole Body Deodorant. Unlike other deodorants, Loom is powered by mandelic acid, excuse me, science, to control odor in a new way. 72-hour odor control. That is outrageous. Everywhere from your pits to your feet, and yes, even your privates. You understand privates? Private parts? Okay. In fact, an OBGYN invented Loom because of private parts. Or the odor from private parts. 6 years later, and her game-changing whole-body deodorant has now earned over 300,000 five-star reviews from people like me who love feeling confident from head to toe. Special offer. New customers, you get 15% off, okay? 15% off all Loom products with our exclusive code and link. Not to mention, the Loom's starter pack is perfect for new customers. It comes with a solid stick deodorant, cream tube deodorant, two free products of your choice, like the mini body wash and the deodorant wipes, and free shipping. And as a special offer for listeners, new customers get 15% off all Loom products with our exclusive code. And if you combine the 15% off with the already discounted starter pack, are you crazy? That equals over 40% off their starter pack. Use code RANA for 15% off your first purchase at loomdeodorant.com. That's code RANA at LUMEDEODORANT.com. Incredible. Time to smell delicious.
Woo!
Okay, Michelle.
Talk to me.
Enough of the bullshit.
Please.
People need help. And Michelle on her podcast does this all the time, where, which I appreciate, you will go through mismanaged questions, Dear Prudence, all of these, the New York Times columns, with your guests, with your mother, whoever, and answer these questions. So we have real people here writing in with real problems. Now, you've been on the show before, so you know that many of these can be manifesto length. So just bear with me. Oh, and also, just a little bit of business. Please join us on the Ask Rana Patreon, patreon.com/AskRana. There's a monthly newsletter, bonus episodes. You can discuss the episodes with fellow patrons. And of course, we have the free feed episodes, completely ad-free. Follow us on Instagram at AskRana. And of course, rate, review, subscribe. It's the least you can do. And also, it's the last day of April, which means it's the last day to sign up for the May AR Social Club. So go to arsocialclub.com to get in on all the fun. Now, Michelle, are you ready for the first question?
Yes.
Let's do it. Dear Rana and Brian, an honorable guest, if applicable. As a devoted fan from the start, I finally find myself in a desperate position and in dire need of your caring advice. How do I respond to a long-distance friend who took more than a year to reply to my messages? For context, I've been friends with this person since college, and we're both in our late 30s. Our friendship has gone through periods of closeness and periods of more casual interaction, depending on life circumstances and where we've lived. About 8 years ago, my friend moved to the city where I had lived for several years. Our friendship blossomed again for a few months, but then I moved to a different city. We've kept in touch with visits, texting, and social media, and I know that we would be close again if we lived near each other. I also know that my friend cares about me and loves me. The problem is that I felt that my friend only contacts me and shows any interest in how I'm doing when they need something. In one instance, they replied to my text by saying something that was basically this: I owe you a response, but I need your advice on this thing I'm doing tonight. I gave them advice and they were grateful. I know, I didn't have to respond to such a last-minute text, but I enjoy helping people and I wasn't busy, so it seemed fine. The next time I heard from them was 6 months later. Because it had been so long, I replied to their text with an audio message just because it was easier, and I felt there was a lot of nuance in what I wanted to tell them. Basically, I talked about how I've been having a very difficult year with my self-esteem plummeting and going through a bit of an identity crisis, but that I was feeling better, plus a couple things about whatever else was going on at the time. Fast forward 1 year and 2 months. They text me, apologizing for not responding, and tell me that they never even listened to my message. They said they meant to listen, but the message was, quote, deleted somehow, blaming it on a new phone. I know it may seem daunting to listen to an audio message instead of reading a text, but I certainly, where are we at if that is daunting? But I certainly didn't expect my friend to disregard my message. I feel hurt by this, especially considering what I shared with them. It would have been nice to have some support, even if it was a few months later. Full disclosure, I don't have any close friends where I live, and I'm aware that's part of the issue. On the other hand, I wasn't at all surprised. This is what I've come to expect from my friend. Now, I don't know how to respond. I'm hardly on social media these days, but I did see that my friend started a Patreon. Part of me, Michelle, this could be about
one of us,
by the way.
It's me.
I was going to say, could easily be about me too.
Wait, so far, I'm not 100% against the friend. I'm not even being funny. Go on.
I kind of know what you mean. And actually, Rana always says that she has shtetl clairvoyance, where like she hears something that pricks up her ears a little bit.
Yeah.
I can't use that phrase, but what I can say is that so far when the letter writer says, I don't have any close friends where I live and I'm aware that's part of the issue, I actually do think that's part of the issue.
Okay.
I think you might be expecting a lot from someone who's not really expecting a lot from you. Okay. But I continue. Okay. I can't shake this feeling. Oh, wait. I'm hardly on social media these days, but I did see that my friend started a Patreon. Part of me is suspicious that they only reached out to me now to tell me about it in hopes that I'll subscribe. By the way, I believe it.
The truth
is that I would love to help a friend make a buck, but I can't shake this feeling that I'm sort of being used. Another piece of background information for some perspective is that I traveled to spend a week with my friend a few years ago to help take care of them after a major surgery. Could they have asked someone else to do it? Probably, but they wanted me there and I was honored to be there for them. I don't mention this to imply that my friend owes me or that I'm going to hold this over their head, but it's just another way that I've supported them without feeling the same support in return. My advice, hurt yourself. Again, I know that would be, we'd be great friends again if we ever lived near each other, but I don't know if that's ever going to happen. Am I wrong to expect more than something from a long-distance friendship? Should I tell them I was hurt by the total silence for over a year, or pretend it's fine and just see what happens? Do I need to be more active on social media? I struggle with knowing how to maintain friendships as it is, let alone a long distance one that seems complicated at this point. I don't want to lose them as a friend, and I also don't want to always be the one putting in the effort. Please help. Love you both in the most parasocial way. And I truly thank you from the bottom of my heart for your time and your priceless advice. Sincerely, Anonymous. We also have a pre-follow-up, which means they emailed us again.
Wow.
Saying, for clarification, number one, when my friend moved to the city I was living in, they didn't move there because of me. I helped them get settled and whatnot, but it wasn't like I abandoned them when I left. They're thriving in that city as far as I can tell. Number two, when I say I don't have any close friends where I live, I don't mean to discount my husband. I do have a loving husband.
No.
I'm not alone.
No.
Number three.
I wish they would not have clarified. I swear on my life, they really effed themselves by clarifying number two. Okay. Go on.
If you can't tell from the letter, I'm conflict avoidant. If your vice is for me to tell my friend that I was hurt, you'll have to tell me how to do that. Thank you. Okay. Michelle, go on that train for a second.
This is really hard because this person does sound extremely sweet.
I know. And also really trying to see both sides of this, seeing it from their friend's perspective, seeing it from their own. I mean, they've really thought about this carefully. Yeah.
I have a lot of feelings on this. Really defending both sides, because as someone who has moved across the globe,
right,
I have definitely lost touch with people. And it's not because I don't absolutely adore and obsess over them. It's because the time difference or just the distance in general lends itself to being difficult to know when's a good time. And then it's hard. I think sometimes subconsciously we are far away. And so it leads you to think it takes a lot of effort when you live far away from someone to keep those friendships moving.
And not to mention, I know this sounds trivial, but like you're a good example of this. Time zones also make a difference. I know that sounds crazy, but they do make a difference, especially if you're not reading something till the next day. I mean, I don't know if this person's out of the country or whatever, but like I could see in your case how that would be difficult to keep in touch with someone if you get a text at like 2 a.m. and then all of a sudden you're like, well, if I respond, it's 2 a.m. there and blah, blah, blah.
It's hard, but I'm going to add something else. And this is, I have been the friend in this case. I have advice for her as well, but I'm going to almost defend the friend in a way. Although I think this friend probably does use her and does love her, but is more of a taker than a giver. I think we can all agree that that's the case with this person. And it sounds to me like the letter writer, Anonymous, kind of likes that relationship because they have been dealing with it for a long time. Like they're sort of throwing the friend under the bus a little bit. Like I give more than I get, but that has been the friendship to me like from the beginning.
Right.
So that dynamic may never change. Number one. But just to defend the friend sometimes, and this has happened, I won't name names, someone who I genuinely, after you, Brian, I would say tied with you. I adore, I love, he may hear this. And if he does, he knows who he is. Who lives far away, who when we're together, it's like no time has passed. We adore each other. But something happens with us where when we text each other, sometimes it will take us like a week or two or sometimes longer to get back to each other.
I can be that way too. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that what it is, at least for me, and I think for him as well, is that there's so much to say. There's so much you want to catch up on. It is overwhelming sometimes when someone isn't like on your day-to-day or even week-to-week roster and rotation that you can get. For me, as someone who also hates a group chat and has ADHD and who's just difficult in things, overwhelming things, it overwhelms me to the point where I actually shut down.
Yep.
And I know that if someone who I adored sent me a 15-minute long voice message telling me that they were going through it, I'll be honest, I could see why the friend never listened to it. I actually believe the friend. I believe that the friend got this thing, was like, wow, I love this person, overwhelmed. I want to give that. And clearly this person is self-obsessed. Meanwhile, it is me the entire time. It's me. I'm the more you talk, I'm like,
it could be me too.
She's me. I'm like defending her to the hilt. I'm like, she's a good person. Her heart's
lay
in the right
off
place.
Her. Yeah.
Yeah. But no, but I'm serious. Like when I get voice messages, I've learn to listen to them, but I have had some where I'm like, I love this person. I just don't want to sit here. I don't listen to podcasts either. It's just like hard for me sometimes. So waiting a year and 2 months, the guilt probably got to them. They were like, fuck, I need to call, you know, Susan or whoever it was. It compiles, and then they're embarrassed. And then they're like, okay, God, I haven't talked to her now in 6 months. There are people like that who deal with mental illness. I hate to say it. And that's what it is. So that's my
there
first
are so
chapter.
Many
what do you
times,
think?
No, I think that's great. There are so many times also in my life where I'll be like, fuck, this person texted me a week ago. I'm only getting back to them now. And I do apologize for it, but part of me really is like, I hate to tell you, this is how I'm built. And yes. It's, I get that it's comes across as rude. And I do also have ADHD, Michelle. I think that mm-hmm. is a part of it where it's sort of like, and I really try to get better about it. In fact, I read an article recently. I'm not usually very late to things, but I have really eased my frustration on people who are, because like the more research done about chronic lateness, the more you come to learn that people actually can't help it. It has nothing to do with disrespect. It has nothing. It is truly just how some people are built. They overestimate or underestimate. Exactly.
It's an anxiety for me. Yeah.
Totally. And I don't know, the more you learn about it, the more you learn about people who are wired that way, the more you're like, all right, I have some understanding and compassion for this. However, I don't think that the letter writer, what you should be doing is beating yourself up for anything you've done here. Like, your audio message is perfectly okay to send. You can't judge how someone will receive it, or you can't expect them to receive it a certain way. There are actually some people who I have audio message relationships with who prefer that, and that's just how we do it. If you sent me an audio message, I would be like, what the fuck's going on? You know what I mean? Oh. I just don't have that with you. We don't do that.
No, I don't do it with anyone.
Yeah. There's like two people who I do it with, and that's just how it's done. But there are so many people who I don't do it with. But I would say this. I actually don't think personally that if you don't want to have a conversation with your friend about this, I don't think you need to, because essentially what you're asking for is blood from a stone. People, in my experience, when I have, and it's been a long time since I've done this, this was really in my younger days, of like telling a friend, I feel like you're not being a very good friend to me. They've never become a better friend out of that conversation. People are who they are. And it is very difficult for people to change their behaviors. I think maybe, and I hate to put it all on you, letter writer, possibly what you have to change here is your expectations and reevaluate who this friend is to you. Maybe they're third tier.
You, as usual, nailed it right on the head. No, I'm telling you, because what I was going to tell this lovely fan and letter writer who does seem sweet as sugar, we're going to get to her husband in a minute,
right?
That she said it herself. She doesn't have any friends.
Yeah.
She doesn't have any friends. And so her expectations, her pressures in this new place she's living are on this one girl who clearly does not have the time or energy to give it back to her. Yeah. Does that mean she's a bad friend? Kind of. I mean, it does. That clearly she's not your best friend anymore. I mean, I think that we need to all have a conversation about it. It happens. Things change. You move and this and that.
Totally. And by the way, she could be selfish as hell. It sounds like she might be, you know?
Oh, listen, look, you know, I don't want to put myself down. Because I think that in my friendships, I do talk a lot and things like that. So I'm very aware of, I've gotten better, I think, in friendships about asking people for things or like trying not to expect too much from one person or whatever it is. Because I think in my youth, I did have friendships where if someone was available to me to like help or whatever, I was like, oh my God, great. You know, and that isn't maybe necessarily right. So just, you know, you grow, you learn and you adapt. I had a point to make before I threw myself under the bus.
I think what you were saying is that theme of it. Okay. Yeah. It was just that if you don't have a lot of friends in your city, I think you really expect a lot from people who you knew before.
No, but I have some friends also who I'm the married girl and they're the other girl, where it's like, if I'm ever going through something or if I'm ever having an emotional situation or a problem, they have zero capacity for that. Whereas I feel like I have, for them, often been an emotional sponge there for them. They're going through things, flying to be with them during hard times.
Right.
And I'll be honest with you, it doesn't feel great. And I know for me in this particular case, I have pulled back a little from that friendship because
I have done the same. Yeah.
Yeah. Because, you know, you have to realize it's a two-way street. Like, that is what friendship is. You have to be there for your friends in the same way they're there for you. As I age, I'm like very aware of that. I really want to be there for people in the way that they're there for me. And I hope I am. Obviously there's always work to be done, but I think for this lovely person, she needs to step away from the friendship a little bit, lower her expectations, if she wants to continue being friends with this girl, be very kind and say, I understand things happen. Hope that you're well. And maybe also not be so up her ass and distance yourself a little. And if she gets the hint, she'll reach out to you more. If she misses you,
That's true. And also, I think you just have to recategorize this person a little bit. I have a really close friend in New York who, it used to hurt my feelings so much because when I would come in town, I'd be like, let's hang out. And they'd be like, yeah, I'll let you know. And I was like, what a fucking asshole. And then I realized, like, they always do end up letting me know. This is just how they work. This is just what their brain is. They can't make a decision on the spot, blah, blah, blah. And it's just sort of, listen, have I repurposed that friendship in a different way now to where it's sort of like, all right, I know not to expect the world from this person, so that's fine. I do want to continue being friends with this person, blah, blah, blah. There are also other friends who completely monopolize my time. But by the way, sometimes it's fun. I don't see them that often. You know, but when I see them, I know what I'm getting and I'm there for it. No.
Is that me? I'm going to talk through the sweater. Is that me? No. Please, no.
It's zero. By the way, that sweater is well ventilated. You sounded great through that sweater.
I know. Should I just do the show through the sweater? It sounds better.
You sound way better.
Our first fight. Oh my God. You see me at our wedding. I'm like Fat Albert. I just have like a turtleneck up to the eyes. I'm like, well, it's like how it works for us. Go on.
But I will say that I do feel for you, letter writer. That is heartbreaking. It is heartbreaking when you realize that a friend is not the friend that you want them to be, or even maybe the friend they used to be. It is heartbreaking and it's sad. But
here's the follow-up, Ryan. Sorry to interrupt.
I know.
See, this is what I do.
I know.
The follow-up email.
They have a highly successful marriage.
What am I even hearing? They have a highly successful, what, like, you're relying on this. I know that girlfriends and partners are completely different. Like, friends and, you know, each serves a different role. I completely get it. But I was thinking that this person was living in, like, a shoe. I was picturing Little Miss Muffet on her tuffet with her curds and whey.
A coal miner who hasn't made a friend yet. Yeah.
Yes! The cover model from Angela's Ashes. Covered in soot. Just, I was picturing the loneliest person
in
the whole world.
That book cover was such a part of our youth, by the way. Wasn't it?
Can I tell you something? I don't even want to, I was about to throw a friend of mine under the bus, but I won't name names. Someone I know who I adore recently bought a pair of shoes from Miu Miu, which is like
the younger Prada,
right. I don't know, like sporty or Prada label, that when she showed them to me, I said, those are the bike tire shoes from Angela's Ashes. That is what Frank McCourt wore when his mother was like banging the milkman or whatever was going on in that book. And she bought them. I'm going to send you, I said, they look like shoes that I would buy for my ventriloquist dummy. Like if my dummy lost his little shoes,
sure,
I would have to go to Miu Miu and buy these.
Yeah, like
that
Dickens
is what's
wear.
In style. The of course. Dickens wear of it all.
Yes, right.
But yeah, Brian, this woman has a husband.
I know.
Seems like you're not that lonely.
No. And also, I don't know what your job is. Maybe you're working from home all the time. And by the way, I don't know that I would ever take this advice myself. But see how you can put yourself out there more, whether it's through, like, you play tennis, if you play kickball. I wish you luck, letter writer. I think you just have to readjust your expectations. And this person does sound selfish. And this person does, listen, it's hard, again, and then we'll move on. But for me sometimes, and I always think it's like the Neanderthal dude brain in me is sort of a little bit with friendship sometimes like out of sight, out of mind. Like if I'm not seeing you, sometimes I'm like, oh, right, I guess I need to reach out to that person. I forgot that that's how friendships work. Like, you know.
Oh, and I have one last thing to say because you mentioned social media.
Yes.
So friends of mine who are not on Instagram or I hate to say it X, but let's just call it Instagram for now because I'm not barely on TikTok. I have friends who live in LA all day long. We DM videos to each other.
I was about to say, for better or worse now, I usually more often than not, when I text someone, hi, what I get back or like, hey, how's it going? What I get back is a video. That is how people communicate now. It just is. Yeah.
You DM and honestly, you laugh with each other. It's a quick way to be like, this is gonna make you laugh. I'm thinking about you. A friend of mine who lives in Italy, we DM all the time. And it's interesting how those friendships do thrive because there is just some sort of, it's like poking each other on Facebook back in the day. There's some sort of like thinking of you
totally.
Instead of it being like a whole Civil War letter of like, dear Inman, I saw the crows in the well. Be careful out there.
Right.
Another Cold Mountain reference. But anyway.
No, but I actually agree with you that maybe that is you've recategorized this friendship as a DM friendship. I mean, there are things like that. It's springtime, so why not eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals? It's the season where you want to be out and about taking the blooms, honey. sit by the river, by the lake, run on the river, cruise down the river. Every fresh, never frozen meal from Factor is chef created, dietitian approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. You can go out there and look at all those outdoor exhibits, honey. We love it. You can also choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including popular options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, Vegan, Veggie, more than 60 add-ons every week, breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, and beverages. Go to those outdoor concerts, honey. Please, if you're looking for gourmet meals, try meals that feature premium ingredients, okay? Filet mignon, shrimp. Shrimp is going to be the name of my daughter. But in this case, I did mean shrimp. Truffle butter, broccolini, asparagus. Oh, la la, excuse me. No fuss, no mess meals, tailored to your schedule. You can customize your weekly meals with the flexibility to get as much or as little as you need. Also, no hassle, okay? No need for prepping, cooking, cleaning up, none of that. Just heat and savor the good stuff. By the way, Factor is celebrating Earth Day all month long, so you can look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for the lowest carbon footprint meals. Head to factormeals.com/Rana50 and use code Rana50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code Rana50 at factormeals.com/Rana50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. Wonderful. Enjoy the spring, honey. Birds and bees, baby. All right, we'll move on. Best of
fun. Is my makeup looking like the Black Dahlia today? I was just looking
at
myself.
No, you look gorgeous.
I have such a strong lip on for me today. It's unlike
now, we
me.
Talked about this on the show, but Rana met Michelle in Amsterdam, and all right. She did when she got back on this show was talk about she's like stunningly beautiful.
Did she say it on air?
Yes. She was like, Michelle Collins is gorgeous. And I was like, gorgeous. And she also said she was like, she just looks perfect. Her hair is so beautiful. Just da 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 da. She was just like, to the nine. She was like, Michelle is so stunning. And I was like, yeah.
I have to fly to her and buy her dinner. That is the nicest thing.
As I mentioned, she's at the OJ funeral. I'm sure of it. That is the only guess that makes sense to me. So
she turns. I'm in a Kato Kaelin mask. I lift it. I'm like, girl, thank you for the compliments. I heard. So nice.
No, she did. She just
That's
was
so
couldn't,
nice.
Couldn't say enough.
You know what's funny? We went to a bar in Amsterdam called the Pulitzer Bar.
Yeah, that
really
beautiful
elegant
hotel. Yeah,
beautiful hotel. And she was very generous. She bought drinks for us, and it was really fun. And then I had a date there like 2 weeks later, and I showed up. It was a first date, and the bartender remembered me, and he was like, "I looked like an old floozy." He was like, "Grey Goose martini with a twist." I'd been there one other time. I was like, "Yes," but also. Oh, scary.
There
and
was
then the date
a,
sucked, so
I, like an ice cream place that I lived nearby in LA. And I remember one time I was on a date there and the guy was like, you don't need to tell me, I got your order. And meanwhile, I had fully lied to the date being like, I've been here a couple times. It's not bad. And everyone in there was like, Brian, oh my God, like da da da. It was humiliating.
I am dying.
And also the order was so specific. It was like the chocolate malt mixed with the corn almond with Rice Krispies on top, right? And I was like, I could die.
But you know what's funny is that the bartenders, I must have known him too. Like, I'm sure he brings a lot of his dates there. He was an older guy. And I, just from the vibe that they knew him, I felt embarrassed. Because I'm like, well, now I can't really. Because he was kind of creepy a little bit. And it was fine. It was like one. No, I'm just being honest.
One and done. Yeah.
One and done. Like, you know, it was funny. You want to hear some bullshit?
Absolutely.
I'll tell it. Fuck it. I don't care.
Please.
I know I'm cursing on your show and I don't think it's that kind of show.
No, please. I am too. So it's fine.
Just bleep me, please. But we each had a glass of wine as like the first round. And then I realized, this is so mean, but I'm going to say it. He kept burping like he had horrible acid reflux. So he kept burping full mouthfuls. Like, I want to say every 10 minutes or so, it was like a full mouthful and a swallow.
Unacceptable.
And it was, and listen, he was, you know, things happen. We're not youngsters anymore. But it was like, genuinely, it was like a cuckoo clock. Like every 10 minutes, he had a mouthful of food. I was like, oh, wait, now I know it's 6:30 because he just like burped it up again, you know?
So long, farewell, Sound of Music. Yes.
And so, wait, that's hilarious. And so he bought the first round because we like changed tables or whatever. So he paid for the first round, which fine. I'm not like sensitive with necessarily who pays for the drinks, but I didn't want to have another wine because I was just not interested in him. And also I had a dinner plan that night. So he was like, I'm going to have another one. And I was like, oh, I'll just have a sparkling water.
Yeah.
You know what's coming. Mm-hmm. I was like, I'll have a sparkling water, thinking like, I just don't need another wine, especially. And why would he have another one? He already has a full Mount Etna going on. You're going to have more wine. Like, I mean, my God. And so I just watched him like drink this wine and vomit it up. And then the check came. And I think I was just like, oh, would you like, cause he already bought one round. And I was like, oh, shall I? And he goes, yeah, that'd be great. So I had to buy him a fucking glass of wine. I'm like, fine. I mean, I'm sorry.
Never see that person again.
Oh, it was already not going to happen. So maybe he knew that and figured, fuck it. Like I'll get my wine back or whatever it was. But, yeah.
I would also say you have mentioned this before. To fully generalize, the Dutch are not necessarily the most romantic people. I don't know if he was Dutch or not.
He was. And he kept reaching over and like grabbing my hand and shaking it and going, what a woman. And I thought, what am I, in Hello Dolly? What is this? Like, you know what I mean? Like, what musical are we in now? Honestly, what even if woman. I was, what a woman, I thought, no, I'm not.
Mae West? Yeah.
Yeah, maybe he like... hit the nail on the head. But yeah, anyway, thanks for listening.
All right, we have one more question. Are you ready?
I'm excited. Mm-hmm.
Hello, dear Ron and Brian and special guest. Avid listener and Instagram follower, I want to thank you both for all the laughs you both have brought me through two very tough losses of family members. Right. I'm so sorry. Yeah. And just overall joy you bring to me and fellow subscribers. To my question, I am dating a much more, quote, sophisticated person than I am. He's 50. I'm a straight, cis, 29, turning 30 in 2 months woman.
It started
2.5. What'd you say?
If it's this guy, I'm going to literally shit. I can't believe that this is the letter that's coming when I just talked about the vomiter.
An older gent that you went out with. Yes.
I'm dying. Go on.
It started 2.5 years ago after the death of my brother. He was the first person I met where I felt safe and had a special connection. Mm-hmm. We both knew it wasn't going to last, but then it just did. He always commented, oh, you're going to leave me when you want to get married and have a family. You realize this won't work out. I don't want any more children. This is him saying this. He has 3 children and 2 ex-wives. And then I finally did. After an argument, I just had an epiphany of some sort and said to myself, why am I having these petty arguments with a man that doesn't want to have a future with me? I broke up with him and it dragged on for 2 weeks. I'm not going to keep secrets from the clairvoyant Rana. So yes, we did have intimate moments over the course of those 2 weeks. Mm. By the way, I love that there was a breakup that was 2 weeks long and you were still messing around in those 2 weeks. That's amazing.
That's not a breakup.
That's absolutely not.
Just literally.
If you were to tell me definition. 2 months, 2 years later, fine.
No, 2 weeks. That's a hilarious thing to put in. But again, I appreciate the honesty of your
listeners. I do too.
Go on.
It.
Yeah.
It was a roller coaster ride from hell with me crying multiple times alone and to him about why he can't just change his mind about our future. Cut to today. So this was an email written with passion and fury.
Oh my God. Cut to today.
He just said he wants to give it another try. Just said he wants to give it another try. And that he's willing to move forward and advance the relationship and have a family. That losing me is not worth it and he'll give me what I want. Honestly, that's all I've ever wanted from him. And 2 weeks ago, I would have been over the moon. But then reality sank in. And I don't know if this is what I want with him. It is what I asked from him. So why am I second guessing it again now? Could it be the age difference? Yes. The baggage? Yeah. This is her saying yes. Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Family dynamics and how my close-knit family will judge me? Yes. I also feel like maybe he's not even sure and just grasping at straws to keep me. I expressed my concerns on how rapid his change in attitude was, and he just said he missed me and he's willing to give it a try with me. Am I being crazy? Should I just move on or should I give it a try? I'm scared because I also want to start a family soon, but I don't want to just throw myself into this out of desperation. I did love him, but after 2 years of what felt like begging and wearing him down, it doesn't feel like it was his decision, and I feel like a charity case. And I'm going crazy thinking in circles. There's also the added pressure of wanting to have my last grandparent, who I love most in the world, see my children before he leaves this realm of the world. I feel so lost and confused. Please help. All my love and thanks. Sincerely, please don't use my name. What do you think, Michelle?
Wow. Listen, I'm going to tell you a quick story, please. Which is that when I first moved here, I went on a handful of dates with a very hot, also early 50s guy, but like beyond, did not vomit once, guy who had 5 children with, I think, 2 women.
Okay.
And I knew when we started dating, like, this is not going to ever go anywhere because, you know, if you're willing to turn your back on the mothers of 2 women who mothered 5 of your kids, if you could not make that work,
right,
there is nothing that's going to work with us. You just have to know that. That's, and I remember I told my mom about it, like, me, you know, probably a month or two after it ended. And it was very casual the entire time. But my mom said, you know, Michelle, there's emotional baggage and then there's the whole luggage department. And I think of that line. I really love that line. I think of it all the time. And this is what that is. She already knows that this is not going to work. She basically wants us to tell her, your instincts are correct. This is not for you. This guy, you unfortunately put his feet to the fire. You called his bluff, I guess. And he said, okay, no, you're right. And I'm sure he does love her. But this is not the man. First of all, he has 2 ex-wives. You said maybe 3 kids.
Yes.
This man does not have the capacity to raise children with you. You're going to be competing, not that it's a competition, but you are kind of competing for his time, his energy, his money, his support, all of that. He's already been down that road. He doesn't want more children.
Right.
What he wants is a 29-year-old girl who worships him. And that's who you are. Because guess what? At 50, he's not meeting other 29-year-olds. Maybe, I don't know, this guy might, it doesn't sound to me like he has that much money. I mean, maybe if he's super wealthy, I could see it happening, but I think that you know the answer. This is absolutely not for you. Take it for what it was. A fun 2 years. You know, I'm sure he was hot, did something for her. Great. But you can find, trust me, Tali, take it from me. There are plenty of men out there who are late 40s, early 50s, who have never been married, never had kids, and all of a sudden are realizing, oh, actually, I do want that. And those are the guys that you're going to end up getting with. But this one is not for you.
I would also say this. I think, and I don't mean this to sound as harshly as it might come out, but I think you are also grasping at straws, letter writer, and acting like this might be it for you. And yeah, it isn't. I think your grandfather probably wants you to be happy more than he does want to see his grandchild, which, by the way, could easily happen. You have been through a really tough time this past year. And it could be that this guy really was supportive in that way for you for that time. But I think the second it gets into, and I don't mean to sound ageist here, but there is even a sense in me where, like, I feel like I am too old to be fighting all the time.
Oh my God.
You know what I mean? Like, it's sort of like, let's have a healthy, friendly conversation about something and respectful, try to keep it respectful. But my days of, like, fighting in relationships, they're over. I don't really, that's just not anything. I mean, unless it's like someone cheated on me or someone was blah, 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 fine. But, like, just, I don't know. I'm just not built that way any longer.
No. And, you know, I agree with you that obviously she's been through a lot and my heart really goes out to her. I feel like he was there, you know, I'm not religious whatsoever, but something in the universe put him there for her
completely
at a time when she needed that.
And he might have the emotional maturity in that way. Maybe I think an older man probably is more sensitive to someone who's been through a really tough year than possibly a younger guy is. That could be true.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Yeah. I would agree. Well, because let's be honest, there's like a sort of daddy thing going on there too.
Yeah.
Sorry. 20-year age gap. Yeah. Did you see the picture of Kimora Lee Simmons' daughter? I think her name is Aurora. Is dating.
He's in his 21. 60s, I think, right? Yeah.
He's in his 60s. I don't know whose titties are longer, me or his. I mean, the guy, and this, I will be ageist. Forgive me. He's got some big old long titties and they're on the beach. And I'm thinking, this is, you know, he looks like a Macy's Thanksgiving Day balloon. And there's nothing wrong. Right. That's not a weight thing. That's an age thing purely.
Sure.
He looks like her grandfather and they're making out on the beach. And I'm sorry. I don't like it.
Yeah.
Sorry, I don't like it.
That's tough.
So she sounds like a beautiful person inside and out. I think that she has been through something. I would look at this like a time for renewal, for change. Yeah. You tell him, I had such a lovely time getting to know you, learning about you. You helped me through so much. I actually think in the long run, this isn't going to work. And I know what I want. And unfortunately, it's not for me. But I wish you all the best. Good luck with all your kids. Goodbye.
Our friend Arden once said to me after she had had a really, really tough year. And she had told me that what you learn is that your body knows what feels bad faster than your brain does. And it's almost like the Oprah thing of like, it starts as just like a whisper, and then it's a rock, and then it's a brick. You know what I mean? Like,
wow.
But you need to train yourself to pay more attention to the whisper. It sounds to me like your body has felt this before your brain has, that you said in your letter, something doesn't feel right about this. And then you started explaining why. I think just if your body immediately is like, whoa, I think that's something to pay attention to.
That's really beautiful and dark. And also, yes, I like that. Because by the way, it's 100% true.
It's 100% true that before you start rationalizing things. And I don't know, I would also say that I do think that people can change their minds about the life that they want, of course. But I think by 50, if someone tells you they don't want any more children, you should hear that.
Oh, and why would you want to give him another child?
Right.
Why would you want to even put someone in that position?
Do you know what's going on with his other children? Like what kind of a father he is or how involved he is or anything? Yeah, I mean.
That's what I want to know.
I would trust your instinct on this one.
This little guy, the mouse.
That sweet mouse, that neck your mouse. I wish you only, yes.
We wish you only, sorry.
I mean, you've had a tough time. I think that this guy served a purpose for you. I think he probably did wrap his arms around you in a really lovely way, not in a creepy way, and tried to take care of you and have a lot of fun with you and all of this. And it sounds like you needed it at that time. But I would say if your instinct is saying don't have children with this person, that's an instinct you got to listen to.
Yes. Yeah. By the way, what is she, 30 now?
Yeah.
She has so many years to go.
So many years. And by the way, the guys, not that I'm saying you have to date a guy your age, but guys are just waking up, you know?
What I would do in my life to be this person that I am now, but be 30.
Honestly,
you know what I mean?
And just to have never in my life, even all through my 20s, ever dated anyone in their 20s. I wish I had only.
Oh my God.
Including myself. I wish no one had dated
God,
me in my
please.
20s. Yeah.
I wish, no, they should have locked me up like Austin Power style, like cryogenically frozen me, pubes out.
Completely.
Like, wait till I'm 30, done.
Completely. Michelle Collins, you are just.
That's it.
You're it, baby. You are it.
That went by so fast.
You have the I and the T. You understand? You are everything. MichelleCollinsLive.com. Michelle will be in Portland this Thursday at the Aladdin Theater. You can get tickets at MichelleCollinsLive.com. I will be her guest there, so you can see me as well. And also, if you're in any other major city in America, go to MichelleCollinsLive.com and you will be able to see her. You absolutely should.
Chicago, Boston. I think that tickets may open up. We'll see. New York for sure. Pittsburgh and Philly.
Fabulous.
On the East Coast. Love
fabulous.
It.
And New York, by the way, at Town Hall. Iconic.
I can't wait for Town Hall.
That's incredible. Michelle, before you go, there is one final thing we do on the show, which is we send a little nice something to one of the letter writers who we think needs it the most. So do we want to, and usually it can be, usually we have like a little list of things we do, but it could be whatever. Do we want to send it to the person who just wrote in who is wondering whether or not to get back together with this 50-year-old dude? Or do we want to send it to the friend who's sort of mourning this other friend and the loss of communication there and everything? Who do
you
feel?
Can I be honest?
Who do you feel more
for? I think they both have had really, really tough times.
I agree.
And yet, and I hope that
I'm with you.
I think the friend.
I do too.
You too, right?
I do.
I do think the friend. There is something that I felt really sad for her because that's a really tough thing to go through. And I think that a little gift would make her feel better.
I agree. And also I would say that the second letter was sent so on the spur of the moment that I don't even know if you've processed it completely yet. And also I'm not sure you're going to make the right decision. So I can't send you a gift yet. You understand? So
that's a good one.
So
she
we'll
could
send
be pregnant right
one.
Now. We don't even
it's
know.
So true. What should we send them? We'd like to, sometimes we'll send like a Lolabo candle. Sometimes we'll send like a little something from Goldbelly. I don't know. What do you... do you have a feeling for anything you want me to pick?
I almost want you to pick, but I think it should be something that it's like a social thing, but I can't think of what.
Okay, yeah.
Like maybe,
that.
I don't know what it would be though, just like a kickball pass.
Sure.
No, just something, you know, something that gets her out of the house would be nice.
Yeah,
but
that
that's a
nice.
Tough thing. What, like a Starbucks gift card? I don't know. She's going to go hang out there and talk to people.
You know what, letter writer? Why don't you send us an email saying what city you're in?
Yeah.
And maybe we
can
pick something from there. And if we don't, you're getting a Palo Santo candle. Okay.
Ron, by the way, also great.
Also great.
She should be so lucky. Love.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Thank you, Michelle.
All right. I love you guys. Thank you. Brian, let's talk soon.
Yeah, definitely.
Bye. Love you. Bye.
I love you. I want to remind everyone before I read this cliffhanger that arsocialclub.com. It's your last day to sign up, so please do that. What else can I tell you? Oh, obviously, patreon.com/AskRana. Volume 2 of the newsletter might even already be out. We're recording a little ahead of time. Follow us on Instagram. It costs you nothing. Not to mention, it's very simple. You just go on Instagram and go to Ask Rana and click follow. And of course, rate, review, subscribe. It truly is the least you can do. Of course, we missed Rana this week, but grateful to have Michelle here. So let's read this cliffhanger. Here we go. Here we go. Dear Rana, Brian, and wonderful guest, if applicable. As much as I'd love to dedicate a paragraph or two to wax poetic about my love of this podcast, my question is a doozy, so I'll save my accolades for my next Apple Podcast review. Can I just say for a second, this person has already written review and is going to write another one. Unbelievable. The issue at hand. My younger brother, 27, moved in with a relentlessly irritating woman. To avoid the reality of his mistakes, only to find himself on a straight path to an inevitably miserable marriage. Wow. You mean it, honey. How can I approach him about the reality of his situation without causing detrimental harm to our relationship? I'll preface this story by saying I'm the older sister, 34, of three younger siblings, all boys who I love with all my heart. My brother, let's call him Jack, is the middle brother. Growing up, Jack was the goofball of the group, but whip smart. He excelled in school and went on to pursue computer science in college. My father, being quite the computer geek himself, was thrilled with Jack's decision. He bragged about it to anyone who would listen. Jack got a great job right out of college, and my dad was over the moon. Jack, however, had a secret. As was the case for many, college in the early days of COVID was incredibly isolating and detrimental to the mental health of students. Jack was able to conceal the truth about failing out of school, courtesy of COVID and the cancellation of his would-be graduation ceremony. It didn't take long for Jack's employer to discover the lie, and he was let go. Fast forward to today. My dad still doesn't know the truth, and Jack still hasn't finished his degree. My mom and I have been keeping Jack's secret. What has he been doing in the years since? Enter Sally, stage right. Jack and Sally met toward the end of Jack's time in school. The two of them would party constantly, drinking until all hours. This behavior continued for years. A relationship seemingly fueled by booze, a mutual love of video games, and late nights out, I grew increasingly concerned. Anytime I would see them, they were either hungover or actively drinking. They'd scream at each other in front of my parents, an incredibly unusual occurrence for my once goofy, docile younger brother. Jack moved out of my parents' house shortly after Sally graduated, a move that was surely influenced by the persistent nagging and questions from my dad. Why aren't you going on interviews? Can I help you network? The job market isn't that bad. Let me look at your resume. Gosh, this sounds exhausting, lying like that. Sally was recently made aware of the fact that Jack didn't graduate. Despite her incredible temper and the reality that my brother had been lying to her for years, she handled it well. She got him back on track and he's set to graduate toward the end of the year. While I'm grateful to Sally, I can't help but think she's using the situation as leverage to lock my brother down. Sally's desperation to settle down has never sat right with me. She started calling my parents mom and dad Well, you know how Ron and I feel about that. Sorry, tri-state area. She started calling my parents mom and dad shortly after they started dating. She bought a wedding dress out of the blue. She even collected family jewelry from her mom to create a custom engagement ring. No, they're not engaged yet. Anyone who has had the displeasure of spending more than a few hours with them as a couple knows they are not compatible. Their behavior is childish. I mean, they're 27. Their behavior is childish at best, verging on verbally abusive at worst. Family and friends have voiced their concerns over the years. Wow. Sometimes to Jack directly, to no avail. I feel as though I've lost my brother through all this. I always knew my siblings and I would grow apart as we got older. I'm married and have a full life of my own, but I still have great, meaningful relationships with my other two brothers. I've always been direct with my siblings, but Sally is constantly in Jack's orbit. I can't even send him a text without her grabbing his phone and texting me back. Oof. Jack's made a lot of mistakes. The blame for his current situation lies squarely on him, but I worry about the way he's insulated himself from me, other members of the family, and even his friends. My other siblings and I want to approach the situation with as much love and care as we can. Help us prevent him from making another mistake. Ron and Brian, I'm desperate for any advice you can impart, and I'm so incredibly grateful to the both of you. All my love, please don't use my name. All right, that's a doozy. Wow, those were some good details. I have to say it was a long letter, but the details were good. And I don't mean to make light of your situation, but wow. She already bought a wedding dress. Calls the mom and dad. Wow. So please join us on patreon.com/AskRana. Our beloved Rana will be back next week. I miss her. I love her. And we will see everybody soon. Kiss, kiss.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.